Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We had a couple of days off, so it's nice to be back here with each and every one of you. Happy Tuesday. Charlie Arnold here, and I had myself a nice outdoorsy type of weekend. I was out in Colorado, which was a fabulous time. But it was when I was out there, you know, occasionally when I'm not involving myself with the views, the nature, the snow. I was scrolling, like, you know, we always do on Instagram, and I came across a story that just completely blew my mind. So we're going to get into that first thing because it took me back to when I was younger. I would go to concerts, and it was in those days that I would be thrilled to walk away from those concerts that I went to with maybe a free t-shirt, which, come on, it rarely happened because we all know how much they like to charge for the merch, but sometimes you got the free t-shirt, but you definitely could expect probably like a free glow stick to light up when their artist that was performing was singing their songs. But oh my goodness, when I read this story, I realized how crazy things have gotten. The concert days that I knew and loved have completely changed because now it says that Olivia Rodrigo, the singer of a song called Good For You, which I'll be honest has been on my playlist for several years now, has done something that is quite the opposite of that song title. And that is by setting the absolute worst example for her young fan base, allowing abortion groups at her concert to be there in person and hand out morning after pills, which usually you can't even get unless you go to the pharmacy. And also condoms, handing them out like candy at her concert. So this gained a ton of attention because it just happened in Missouri, which, as you know, is a state where abortions are illegal. But Olivia Rodrigo is very proud of these freebies. Before the concert, she encouraged her fans by getting online on social media to stop by the booths and say hello to the folks from the Missouri Abortion Fund. So here's what she posted online.
And for the North American leg of the Guts World Tour, I'll be partnering with the National Network of Abortion Funds to help those impacted by healthcare barriers in getting the reproductive care they deserve. To learn more about reproductive health resources and how you can help, visit abortionfunds.org, or you can stop by the National Network of Abortion Funds table at your local Guts World Tour stop. So thank you so much for supporting this cause that I care so deeply about, and I can't wait to see you all on tour. Thanks again. Mwah.
I'm always baffled by all of the women, the feminists that care so deeply about abortions. You know that Olivia Rodrigo, she's 21 years old. She cares deeply about abortions. I feel like she would have other things that would be prioritized for her to worry about, but I digress there. But point is, did she and her team really think that this is going to go over well with the parents of her young fan base? Because they totally thought wrong. Because after getting backlash, they backtracked. They announced they will no longer pass out condoms, emergency contraceptives. And also, lube was also being passed out at the concert because, quote, children are present at these concerts. Duh. Now, Jade Hurley, the communications manager for the D.C. abortion clinic, afterwards told Variety magazine this. She said, quote, the reality is that youth have sex and youth need access to birth control and emergency contraception. What we're doing is completely legal in all 50 states. Okay, all I have to say is the youth need this like I need someone to punch me in the face right now. This is not what they need. They're going to a concert to have a good time with their friends. They do not need the whole idea of abortions being shoved in their face. They don't need morning after pills because they're not in the age group where I think that's even appropriate to be thinking about. So according to a post on Reddit that addressed Rodrigo's fan base's age range. So by the way, this post that I found on Reddit, this was posted weeks ago, way before all of this backlash came about and even her announcement came about that she was going to be handing out these things at her concert. So this is what someone wrote when they were asked about the age range of her fan base. This person wrote, quote, at the Houston show last night, it was mostly older teens to young adults. There were also some in the 9 to 12 range, even a few younger. So let's get this straight. There was younger than children than 9 at this concert, and they're potentially being confronted with being passed along a morning after pill or a condom or some lube. Outrageous. But knowing this, how is this type of activism even remotely appropriate? I mean, in my mind, Olivia Rodrigo is just begging for her audience to engage in reckless behavior with the condoms. And then, oops, if they don't work or you forget to use them, no problem. Just take this, the morning after pill, problem solved. And I can't even imagine how furious my parents would be. I can just imagine how insanely mad they would be if I went to a concert and came home with these items. Sex and abortion should not be at top of mind when going to a concert by a 21-year-old female artist who starred in High School Musical. This is sick, but also the music industry is just as woke as Hollywood, and this has been the case for years now, so who's surprised, right? And now, speaking of one musical artist who has already crossed over into the world of acting, so she's in both woke landscapes, that would be Lady Gaga. And if we want to talk about another suspect role model, on International Women's Day, Dylan Mulvaney posted a photo with none other than Lady Gaga, and obviously was met with tons of criticism. So Gaga responded by saying this, quote, "It's appalling to me that a post about National Women's Day by Dylan Mulvaney and me would be met with such vitriol and hatred. When I see a newspaper reporting on hatred but calling it backlash, I feel it's important to clarify that hatred is hatred, and this kind of hatred is violence. Backlash would simply imply that people who love or respect Dylan and me didn't like something that we did. This is not backlash. This is hatred." So then from there, Gaga went on to talk about how people need to be loving, accepting, warm, welcoming, and also to stand by and honor the complexity and challenges of trans life. But here we go. This is another case where celebrities like Lady Gaga are just getting it completely wrong. This has nothing to do with being unaccepting of trans people. It has to do with the fact that this was International Women's Day, and she should understand why a post like this would upset her fans. She has millions of actual real women who are her fans. So, of course, this would be upsetting that she's coming to the complete defense of a biological man. So instead of coming to his defense, maybe she should just be more diplomatic and address the situation from both sides, right? I think that seems fair. I also think the parents who pay for all of the children to go to the concerts, because let's be real here, Lady Gaga, Olivia Rodrigo, a lot of these fans are, again, like the person posted, young teens, maybe slightly older teens, 9 to 12 age range. They are certainly not paying for their own tickets. So I'm just saying, if I'm a parent, this is the last type of thing I would want my children exposed to, whether it's the trans ideology or the abortion activism at concerts. But here to talk to me more about this and a couple of other things that are on top of mind here in the pop culture world, let's go ahead and bring in Mary Morgan. She is the host of Pop Culture Crisis, which is on YouTube Monday through Friday.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you for having me.
How's it going? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have a few things that I want to get into, but first and foremost, let's talk about Olivia Rodrigo. When you heard that she was passing out morning after pills at her concert to, again, an audience who in some cases might not even know what sex is yet. I mean, maybe in this day and age they would, because they have more exposure on social media to that type of stuff. But this to me just seems grossly inappropriate.
I mean, it's obviously deeply disturbing that Olivia Rodrigo is trying to make abortion part of her brand and be seen as more edgy in that way. But I think that I was just as shocked as you when I found out they weren't only passing out Plan B pills or condoms. They were also passing out lubricant to children. And this is the least justifiable one on the list, although I'm objecting to all of it. It has nothing to do with reproductive rights. It has nothing to do with Roe v. Wade. It has nothing to do with unplanned pregnancies at all. It's literally just about making promiscuity more suggestible and favorable to literal children. And it's really encouraging, actually, to see that Olivia Rodrigo had to back down and that she got so violently humbled by the parents taking a stand on this. And I wasn't sure if that was actually going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good move. And at least it was swift, because in a lot of cases like this, we see it happening maybe it continues down the road for a few more concert dates. And then after enough fury mounts, not even just from the one situation that occurred in Missouri, then something is changed. So, yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you there. Good for them for recognizing that they needed to make something to you know, change things up. And they did that pretty quickly. Okay, so there's one thing. And then we addressed the fact that Lady Gaga was forced to tackle the issue of the photo being posted alongside Dylan Mulvaney on International Women's Day. Now, this is not a picture that Lady Gaga posted herself, but when Dylan Mulvaney posted it, it was met with all types of backlash. And instead of addressing, in my opinion, the situation from both sides, which would have made more sense, hey, everybody, please be more accepting. This is someone who might be going through a lot of challenges. That's not something I'll get into because I have, you know, areas that I would disagree with there with the whole situation in general. But I also think it's important to address her fans that are real women. And she just doesn't do that. It's very one-sided, which is what we're used to seeing when it comes to topics and issues like this. What's your take on this? Do you think that she could have handled it differently?
Well, I already don't pay any mind to stupid international holidays like International Women's Day anyway. I really don't care. But I think if you're going to post for International Women's Day, then you ought to be posting yourself or a woman that you look up to, not a trans activist who frequently mocks women and disrespects them. And that was reflected in the comments. But I think that you can tell from Lady Gaga's caption on that post, it was absolutely ridiculous. It wasn't really about Dylan Mulvaney. It was just about valorizing herself and virtue signaling that she's some kind of maternal figure to the entire gay and trans community, which they do actually refer to her as mother. So I understand why she would feel that way. But I was just wondering, like, what could be missing from this woman's life that she feels she needs to stand up for and protect and really nurture this activist group or community that she actually has no real connection to. And I think the most ridiculous part of that caption was her saying that words are violence. I think we really need to move past this idea that words are violence, because violence is violence. I'm preaching to the choir right now, but obviously that's just on its face so ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that just completely diminishes the idea of freedom of speech, right? If that's deemed as violence, your words, and you can't say these things because they're, quote, violent, then people don't have a right to their own opinions if it upsets someone. Right. And as we know, the left likes to get butt hurt about absolutely everything. So that would pretty much mean that we can't say anything of importance that might be even a little bit offensive to a certain group of people. But Dylan Mulvaney pays no mind to any of this criticism, although they like to pretend like, you know, oh, this is so hurtful, but they keep walking in the same direction, right? There's steps that can be taken to understand why there would be fury coming from one direction or another. But Dylan Mulvaney is just fast-tracking it as far as they can go, you know, into the area of girlhood, into womanhood. And so much so that now Dylan Mulvaney actually just released a new pop song. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to listen to it yet, but it's
unfortunately
pretty interesting.
Listened to the whole song. Yeah.
Very interesting. You and me both.
I love that Dylan Mulvaney is just going to teach us everything there is to know about being a girl. I mean, it's just so creepy in general. Like, that music video was so creepy to watch. And I still think that it's weird. that Dylan would name the Days of Girlhood series the Days of Girlhood series instead of the Days of Womanhood series. If you're making all of these videos about your transition from being a man to being a woman, why are you acting like a little girl in pigtails and mini skirts and high heels running around like Eloise at the Plaza? It just never made sense to me. And I think the most encouraging part of this is a white pill here. As I even saw a ton of criticism from leftist feminists who are pro-trans movement, everything. They were responding to this music video even and saying that they felt mocked and disrespected by it. They felt like it wasn't Dylan Mulvaney's place to make a Days of Girlhood song about all of these frivolous things that are associated with femininity, unfortunately, things that you can buy and things that you can wear and alcohol and hookup culture. All of these things are not flattering to women at all. But unfortunately, I think that's what every mainstream pop song made by a biological woman these days would sound like. So who do you really place the blame on? Is it Dylan Mulvaney or the culture that enables Dylan Mulvaney to exist and feel so emboldened to speak this way?
Well, I totally agree with you on the idea of using the term girlhood. I hadn't actually thought of it like that, but it makes sense. And it does feel very like more of like a fetish, you know, like this isn't some, this is more of a fetish type of situation, which makes it feel even grosser, like mocking and dressing like a young girl would. And this is, you know, let's not forget, this is a biological man that is, you know, now making references and acting like a little girl. It does feel very wrong and definitely more of like a fetish than something that this person truly believes, you know, they were meant to live their life as. So that's a good point you make there. But another thing that I found to be very disturbing is that the backup dancers in this video were real women. So there's also the point that, you know, while there is a fury being drummed up by real women out there who said this is not Dylan Mulvaney's place to talk about girlhood, womanhood, to make a song about it, to kind of poke fun at it in a way. And it just, it feels very disrespectful to women out there. But real women did take part in this music video, which I'm not sure what that says about them. Maybe they felt like, you know, in a sense, they were also virtue signaling, or that this would make them look better among their peers, that they're more accepting. But to me, it just also felt wrong that you have real women propping Dylan Mulvaney up in this manner.
Yeah, I agree. I think my co-host on Pop Culture Crisis, Brett, he was saying, I can't imagine how you feel about topics like these, being a woman, like this is something that affects you. And I'm like, well, no, I mean, I actually don't feel any type of way about it because I feel like it primarily affects all of the stupid women who are going along with this narrative that Dylan Mulvaney is part of our community. Okay, so I don't have to remain loyal to that narrative. I am very clearly not a part of whatever community that is. But I think that more than their virtue signaling, they're just blatantly clout chasing off of Dylan Mulvaney, who I guess has surpassed the 15 minutes of fame that we initially thought would happen. But I really just feel bad for Dylan Mulvaney because clearly no one said, hey, maybe this music video, it's not the best idea. Or maybe this TikTok series is not the best idea. And we could take this in another direction that would be more respectful to women and make you a more respectable public figure. No one around Dylan Mulvaney who actually cares has pumped the brakes and given Dylan a wake-up call for just how ridiculous this has gotten. And that actually is just quite sad to me.
Yeah, well, I think the point is as much as Dylan wants to be a woman, they have absolutely no respect for women. So there's a major problem with that right there. But now moving on to a real woman. I mean, let's talk about real women for a change. And this is something everybody has completely lost their mind about, and that would be the Kate Middleton drama. We know that she had abdominal surgery back in January and had yet to really be seen. Finally, a picture comes out, her with her children on Mother's Day over in Great Britain, and people immediately are able to find inconsistencies with the photo, realizing that it had been Photoshopped. Now, before we get into the whole conspiracy theories behind what could have possibly happened or why, Mary, when you looked at this photo, because I have to say, I looked at it for a good couple of minutes, and I was unable to see all of the inconsistencies, because before I read what was actually wrong with the photo, I wanted to see if I could see it for myself. I don't know. And listen, I'm not going to lie. I've photoshopped my own photos in the past, so I'm no stranger to editing, to Photoshop. But when I looked at this, I was like, what are we looking for here? But there were internet detectives that, like this, were able to point out this are incorrect, and then dragged her back to an outfit she was wearing months prior and how they think she, you know, put this photo into this photo. When you looked at it originally, were you able to see them right from the get-go?
I mean, I don't think that just initially scrolling past that Mother's Day photo, I did see something wrong with it immediately, but I wasn't intensely interested in the conspiracy yet. So I wasn't like zooming in or whatever, but then it's pretty easy once you look through the posts that, you know, obviously Charlotte's wrist was weirdly detached from the sleeve of her shirt. And all of them have their fingers crossed in this weird way that kind of looks like it was made in like AI Midjourney programs or something. And they all just kind of have this soulless look in their eyes that rings hollow to me. Something says that this is AI generated or at least partially made that way, or something is just off, and something has been off about this whole arc of Kate Middleton's disappearance. And everyone has just been saying, you know, if they were able to just record a video of Kate Middleton dispelling these rumors and just saying like, hey, just checking in, I'm doing fine, I'm still kind of keeping things personal and private, but I will be back in the public eye soon. If they could make a video like that, they would have done that already, but they haven't. So what is going on? And the theories have just been absolutely off the wall. I mean, I definitely lean conspiratorial in all things. Like, I definitely am always looking for the alternative explanations, and I'm asking the questions. But I feel that now this video has come out of Kate and Will walking around this farmer's market yesterday, I'm pretty much done being conspiratorial. Like, I think that was clearly her. A lot of people are saying it's a body double, but I don't know what to say. I mean, maybe they'll get a divorce. Maybe that's about to happen, because there have been signs in that direction and rumors of an affair between Prince William and Rose Hanbury. Sorry. But then she gave a statement through her lawyers that that's not true. So she might be threatening to sue for that. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But what about you?
Well, I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, I definitely lean into the conspiracy theories, because, again, it's too simple to just say everything's fine. I'm recovering from surgery. I'm just spending some low-key time with my family. Everyone, don't worry about it. Rather than posting a Photoshop photo. The other thing that got me.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong, but this is the royal family we're talking about. I mean, they have butlers for their butlers. I mean, they have absolutely every type of staff you could possibly imagine. So I just have a hard time believing that Kate Middleton is doing all of the own photoshopping for her photos. I have to imagine there's probably someone on staff, a professional, yeah. Right? If they need to Photoshop or something, because... like, come on, we all realize that everyone in this day and age alters their photo maybe a little bit. I mean, not like the random men out there who are posting stupid photos on their accounts, but any woman out there who's curating an account, especially a celebrity, especially a royal family, they're going to have probably knowledge in that area where they would, I mean, I know Kim Kardashian has been guilty of having some pretty big Photoshop fails, but I just can't imagine that the royal family would allow Kate Middleton to Photoshop her own photo and then send it out on the official account without somebody going over it with a fine-tooth comb. Like, to me, that already strikes me as very odd. So I don't even think that that second message that went out afterwards of her saying, hey, everybody, you know, I'm just like everyone else trying to play around with editing and all that. I'm sorry for what I did. I don't even think that was her.
You don't think it was
so
written
I don't
by
know.
Her.
So already I was, yeah, I don't think it was written by her. I think it was written by someone else. So already now I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. this feels weird. I don't even think she photoshopped. I don't even think she wrote that apology post afterwards. But I also heard about the affair. So that would make sense. You know, if you're a woman, that's highly embarrassing, especially when you're in the public eye, and especially when this was your friend. I mean, the woman who he's accused of having the affair with is one of her, I believe, friends from college. So that makes it doubly embarrassing. So, I mean, yeah, she probably is just like, listen, I don't want to deal with anybody.
Yeah, the rumors are definitely going even further than an affair, though. I mean, some people are saying that Prince William got Rose Hanbury pregnant and she's planning to keep the baby, and that also now with this new like royal announcement, what if King Charles is actually in really poor health and he's either imminently going to die or he's going to abdicate the throne to William, and then William is going to pull a Charles and bring in his mistress as the queen and do Kate Middleton so dirty by doing that. I think that would send me into a mental breakdown as well. So there's the theory that she just went full Gone Girl mode. Other people are saying that Prince William beat the living daylights out of Kate Middleton beyond recognizability, and that she had to go into facial reconstruction surgery. That one was really, really off base. But I mean, if you don't clarify, if you don't give people even just a little bit of the truth to go off of, that's where the conspiracies are going to lead. And I do find it so funny that the British media has no grasp of how Americans relate to stories about the royal family, because they feel like they're like mad at Stephen Colbert for making jokes about this rumored affair and all of this. And I just find it actually so amusing that they think we care about their discretion and privacy and politeness standards over there. I mean, it's just part of our heritage to disrespect and rebel against the monarchy.
Yeah, I mean, I know, I just have, I mean, for example, my mother, I mean, dating back to, it was the wedding. It was Kate and William's wedding. She forced me to wake up with her at like 3:30, 4 in the morning and watch it live with her on television. So yes, Americans definitely have an obsession with the royal family that is going nowhere. So we need some answers. That must happen. But at the same time, while we're searching for answers from Princess Kate, Meghan Markle just released her new line of clothing, or at least announced its arrival. I think it's called something like American Riviera. Did you hear about that? She's releasing a new line of clothing. I can't, something American Riviera, something or other, but the timing of it, and I'm sure she didn't plan it around the drama occurring over in England, but from a press perspective, probably wasn't the best time to make the announcement.
A little bit insensitive, maybe. Well, I think that a lot of Meghan Markle's fans who believe her stupid, bogus victimhood narrative, they hate Kate Middleton. And they think that Kate Middleton is one of the villains of Meghan Markle's story. And they love the fact that Kate Middleton is the one getting scrutinized right now and possibly having her private life invaded and violated by the press, and the one that has rumors swirling around her instead of Meghan Markle. But the truth is, I think this is actually a W for Kate, because Kate can have all of this discussion around her while doing and saying absolutely nothing. And she doesn't even have to do a paparazzi walk in the parking lot of the hospital. Whereas Meghan Markle has to go to such great lengths to get the media to even pay attention to her anymore. She's just become totally irrelevant.
That's a very good point. I'm definitely team Kate Middleton. Always have been, always will be. Meghan Markle makes me absolutely sick. So I will not be buying any articles from her new clothing line. But Mary, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And also, I just started following you on Instagram. So when you know for sure what is going on with the royal family, please post, because I'm following this story closely, as many other people are.
Yes, I'll definitely let you know. And thank you for having me, Charlie.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I meant to say I followed her on X, not on Instagram, but same thing, right? I followed her on social media, and I want some answers. That is definitely true. Okay, so speaking of X, there was a new show that dropped the past couple of days. I don't know if you tuned in. It dropped yesterday, in fact. It's Don Lemon's new show. It's called The Don Lemon Show, and chances are, if you're watching my show, you probably didn't watch The Don Lemon Show, unless, like me, you were intrigued because Elon Musk immediately axed it right after he sat down for an interview with Don Lemon for his very first debut episode. We knew last week that Elon Musk was canceling X's partnership with Don Lemon because he felt like when he sat down with Don Lemon that it was really just kind of a reincarnation of CNN. He didn't feel that it was an unbiased interview, kind of what he had presented the idea to when pitching having this partnership with Don Lemon. So right away, he was like, this is not what I imagined. I'm not signing up for this. I am not sponsoring some type of show like this. So immediately, the partnership has gone away. But Don Lemon, he came on, he said, I'm still going to go forward with my show. And yesterday, we finally got a little taste, a little extra taste of that interview that took place with Elon Musk. And all I have to say is, thank goodness Elon Musk ended that partnership. Watch this.
So are you saying that if the majority of doctors are white, are you saying that and there are still these inequities, right? And there's and people still, there are still mistakes. Are you blaming DEI for that?
No, I'm very basically saying that if we lower standards of what it takes to become a board certified surgeon or, you know, an oncologist or something where the kind of disease we're talking about, if you make a mistake, causes someone to die, then more people will die than if we don't lower the standards.
I feel like Don Lemon is, like, actually might have a handicap, like a mental handicap, because he just could not grasp what Elon Musk, this point he was trying to prove. He asked about, you know, the idea of DEI being integrated into the world of medicine, which Elon Musk, if you watch the entire conversation that took place around that subject, Don Lemon was doing his best to try to race bait Elon Musk. And Elon Musk just was like, listen, I'm going to put it in simple terms for you. If you lower standards in the field of medicine, people will die. Don Lemon shot back, well, most doctors are white. So are you saying that poor medical care is attributed to white doctors? And Elon is just like, I'm sorry, like, I don't know how many different ways I can explain this to you, but bottom line, if you make DEI more important than the standards that it takes to become a good doctor or surgeon, then yes, it is going to have a detrimental effect. And I would agree with that. I think you would agree with that. I think anyone who's sending their family member or friend to receive medical care would agree with that. No one cares what the doctor looks like. I don't care what the doctor looks like. I don't care if you are black, white, Asian, Indian. I do not care if you are a great doctor and you are going to take care of me while I am under anesthesia. Great. Lovely. You are hired. If someone goes to a doctor strictly because of their skin color or their ethnic background, then, well, best of luck to you. As you are getting cut open by that said doctor. There's just other things that took place in this interview, too, that we were able to address last week. The fact that, you know, they had said that you couldn't oppose illegal immigration because that, you know, was what led these radical shooters to write their manifesto. It just, there were so many ludicrous talking points that were integrated into this interview by Don Lemon that it's true. It really was like CNN. And Elon Musk, of course, doesn't want something like that on his platform. His platform, he took over because he wanted to be based on fact, not bias, not skewed talking points by the left. And, you know, similarly with the right, he wants everything to kind of have something, some truth grounded in it and based on fact. So Don Lemon right now has 1 million views on his show. But I would venture to say that's only because of the controversy. People wanted to know why Elon was in up in such arms about the show. So they probably went and tuned in. I can only imagine what episode 2 is going to look like, what type of numbers it's going to do. We will find out, though, because I'm sure another episode will be coming our way next week. Who the interview will be, I'm not sure. Again, I will not be watching. I'll just be kind of checking in, tracking for news purposes. But everybody, that is all the time we have. Thank you so much for being here on this Tuesday. No, you missed us these past couple of days. Glad to be back here with you. In the meantime, make sure you're following me on social media at Charlie on TV, and I will see you tomorrow for Wednesday's episode. So until then, take care.